Good morning, everyone. It's truly a privilege to be here this morning to open God's Word and to hear from Him the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And thank you for having us. Really, it's a privilege to be here this morning. And I want to share a little bit of myself. My name is Jeremy, and I'm married to my wife, Becky, and we have a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, Adeline. And we both work at Cape Maria full-time. I'm the program coordinator there, planning different activities for the students and take them out on trips. And in the spring, summertime, I book groups that come, church retreats, youth groups, and various programs and coordinate that. That's my primary responsibility there. I was also a student at Cape Maria. Almost all of our staff, if you ever come to Cape Maria, have been students at Cape Maria Harbor. And then they fail, and then they do a second year, and then they fail again, and then we join staff. So Barry's been failing for 15 years, so he's still there. I'm only been failing for 5, so not doing too bad. But so it's a truly a privilege to serve it and God's ministry at Cape Maria Harbor. And I want to extend the invitation too. Again, if you just want to stop by for a meal, we'd love to have you in some capacity at Cape Maria Harbor. After my 2 years of program at Cape Maria, I did my undergrad in Ontario for 4 years and then graduated and joined full-time staff at Cape Maria Harbor and been there since then. So thank you for giving me this passage. It's an absolutely fantastic passage, and it's a very familiar story that we know of Jesus feeding the 4,000. And then there's the healing of the blind man. So there's a parallel passage to feeding 4,000 in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15 as well. And this is a story that has taken place after Jesus fed the 5,000 people. In fact, there was more than 5,000 people. It was 5,000 men, and there was women and children. And same applies to this 4,000 as well. Actually, there was more than 4,000 people in the story, but we see how Mark has recorded that for us. So here, the first part of it, we read the first 3 words. I want to read again. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from great distance." So we see lots of people are following Jesus. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and proclaiming the gospel and his kingdom, and it's been happening for the last 3 days. And we see now that they're in a state where they're hungry and they need some physical food. In fact, some may be even starving because the way how Jesus explains that they're going to faint on the way back. So I can see how either they're thirsty and hungry. But Jesus feels compassion for these people. And the word compassion, if you look at the root word for compassion, the meaning is to be moved in one's inner self or heart, one's heart, with love that creates an emotional response. So to be moved, so Jesus is moved in his heart with love for these people, and it creates a response to these people because these people have been following Jesus for the last 3 days. So in response to that, Jesus wants to feed them. So one of the characteristics of God that we see is a compassionate God. And we see the word compassion in so many parts of the scripture. So he cares deeply about our physical needs. But more than that, he cares deeply about our spiritual needs in our life. Because the spiritual needs influences our physical needs in life. Paul in Colossians reminds us how Paul is praying for the spiritual needs of the church. He reminds the Colossae church, you need to grow in spiritual understanding. You need to grow in spiritual wisdom. Even though there were people who were physically sick, people who were physically struggling, Paul was a mature Christian because the maturity we know because he was praying for them for their spiritual needs. And when we start praying for our spiritual aspects of the body, the spirit influences our mind and our body. And it represents a character of Jesus in our life. See, Paul is not praying for change in circumstances, but Paul is praying for the change in heart. And that is the same heart we see for Jesus here in that whole story as we read through, is that Jesus is looking for hearts to be transformed into his image, into his likeness, into his character. His character as a compassionate God makes him a human who understands our physical struggles, who understands what we need physically, what we need in life. Even though we might sometimes think that God is up there, well, God is very present in us in the midst, who understands our true needs, who seeks a personal relationship with us. See, Jesus not only provides for what we need in life, but he sustains us. As he provides, he sustains us, our day-to-day needs. It is interesting to see that it's at the end of 3 days that we see this miracle happens, where Jesus feeds these 4,000 people. So up until this point, we think that people brought their own food, packed their sandwiches, packed their bread, packed their fish. But when they ran out of food, guess who sustains them? Jesus sustains them. And sometimes in our life, we have a strong start. Okay, we have everything we need. We go head on. And I heard about a mission trip that's happening, right? We are like all excited. Okay, everything is provided for us. Let's go out there and let's proclaim Christ. Well, what happens closer to the end of that week when it started pouring rain and you're outside when you're like, man, I didn't eat breakfast this morning or I didn't have my coffee this morning? How do you believe that God can sustain you? Or do you believe that God can sustain you all the way till the end? Well, if you believe in the God that I believe, whose name is Jesus Christ, well, the answer is yes, he can sustain you. Because Jesus is our sustainer for life. See, the disciples, even though they just came from knowing that Jesus just provided for 5,000 people, that's a lot of people, they still doubt whether Jesus can provide again. Verse 4 says, and disciples answered him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? They know that the provider himself is with them. They've seen it. They've heard it. They've felt it. They, in fact, experienced God's provision in their life. And yet, they doubted. And we are like disciples. We needed to be reminded every day that Jesus is our provider. Oftentimes we forget. Even though we have experienced it, we know it, we have tasted his provision in our life, yet we fail and we doubt. And today, my goal is to simply remind you about the truth of who Jesus is. Because we are humans and we fall short every day. And we need to be reminded about the truth every day. When I first came to Cape May Harbor in 2014, I was talking about provision. I was my full tuition was paid for the 2 years. And I knew that even before I applied. I was like, okay, Jeremy, if you come, and I grew up in India for the first 18 years of my life, and then first time coming to Canada was to Thetis Island. And it was a big trip. But when I came, I knew my tuition was fully paid for. So I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to pay for the tuition. And after my 2 years, both years was paid for, my initial plan was to go back to India and do university and be an engineer. That was my route that I wanted to go. But knowing that God has called me to a full-time ministry context somewhere, whatever that looked like. But after 2 years, I was like, I'm no longer sure if I want to do engineering again. So I looked into explored opportunities here in Canada to go to university and states as well. And I got into two universities, and one was Vancouver Island University, and the other one was Redeemer University in Ontario. Never been to Ontario in my life. All right, let's go to Ontario. Never been there, right? So I did my 4 years, and the cost was a big deal because my parents actually also run a Bible school, a full-time ministry back in India. And I looked at both costs, and both universities cost about $100,000 for 4 years for me to go. Well, I never worked a day in my life before coming to Cape May Harbor, because in India, usually parents pay for the university and you get a job, and then still parents pay for the job and everything, all that. So it's more family-oriented that way. So you don't have to worry about it. So I had no savings In fact, my dad gave me $100 a month if I want to do any personal expenses and ferry travels, things of that, when I was at Cape Henry. So I had nothing. I had $0 in my bank account. So I'm like, $100,000. How on earth am I ever going to get $100,000 to go to university? I call my dad. Dad, what do you think? Possible? No, not possible. All right, what do you think I should do? But my dad, he's a very mature Christian guy, and I love him. And he said, go for it anyways. Right, all right. So I applied, got in. I applied for all the bursaries, even though I didn't qualify for everything, but applied anyways. I got a bunch of bursaries. I go in, and I said, okay, I'll do monthly payments. I get a job. I worked at Tim Hortons for the very first time in my life. First job ever in university. Started making some money. You know, slowly started paying off. Took a loan. At the end, fast forward to the end of 4 years, I was in debt of $30,000. So somehow I have to make $30,000 to pay off the loan. And I'm thinking, okay, I could find a job. In fact, Cape and Harbor invited me to join on my third year. So I'm like, okay, that's a good start. The university invited me to join there, gave me a job offer. Okay, that's an option. End of my fourth year, if you can remember, if you can go back about 5 years, 2020, when the world shut down, that's when I graduated. And I'm thinking, well, two things. One, Cape Henry just shut down their program because COVID and no one can do anything. University, like, we are not hiring anymore. Everybody's laying people off. How am I going to pay $30,000, right? Jesus, how am I going to pay $30,000? Well, you provided for me. I experienced God's provision my first 2 years at Cape Henry Harbor. I'm thankful, Lord, thank you. You did it. You are my provider. I know it. I know my heart. I believe it. How is God going to provide? I doubt. God, how are you going to provide? Now, there's no job. There's no offer. There's nothing. How are you going to do it? Impossible situation. Well, a friend of my dad at that time asked my dad, Rejoy, that's my dad's name, what are your current needs, Rejoy? My dad's like, okay, well, we have the Bible school, you know, students and da-da-da-da-da, some building projects, and my son, he just graduated university, and he needs about $30,000. But a week later, that guy writes a $30,000 check. Can it be more clearer that Jesus is my provider? That Jesus is my sustainer, right? Can it be more clear to the disciples when Jesus is asking, where are you going to get it? Well, I don't know. There's no place here. We fail. And Jesus knows that we fail. The disciples at that time who saw Jesus do the miracle, provided for them, failed. And today, we don't necessarily physically see Jesus, but we see and experience his goodness in our life. We know his faithfulness in our life, and yet we still doubt and fail. And Jesus knows that. And because Jesus knows that, he said, I still love you, and I still care for you, and I'll still provide for you in your failing and in your doubt. And that's what Jesus did. Again, you know what? How many loaves do we have? Seven. I'm going to make it into 4,000. And he did that miracle. So my friends, if you are going through those struggles, and we need to be reminded about that truth, I'm reminding you today. If you forgot that Jesus is your provider, well, I'm reminding you right now, Jesus is your provider. You're struggling financial, health, wealth. You take any topic in this world, Jesus is going to provide for you today. That's the truth. Whether you feel that way or not, whether you doubt or not, that's the truth. And you have to walk by faith in that. And then we look at Jesus, how he actually does the miracle by giving thanks. And then he serves to them. And that word serve really caught my eye. And as I walk into this church this morning, I look at that verse there. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. See, that is what Jesus is doing here. He came to serve. And this is one practical way of Jesus serving. And yet, there are people whose heart is hardened, whose eyes are blinded. And in verse 11 and 12, we read this. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. Again, can it be any more clearer than that? And yet we doubt. And yet we look for another provision. And to test him, sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. See, I was like that too. I was like this Pharisee, looking for something that God would do rather than going to God himself. And sometimes we get caught up on the jobs or the ways to make money or looking after the health rather than going to Jesus directly, who is our provider, who is our sustainer. And he not only provides, but he satisfies us because he is our source of our provision, of our life. Jesus is enough. We don't need Jesus and whatever you want to add to live out the Christian life. What God has called us for, everything that we need, God has already provided. In 1 Peter we read, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything. He doesn't say everything except day-to-day groceries. He doesn't say everything except health. He doesn't say, God has provided everything you need to live his life. And that is Jesus Christ himself. In the Old Testament, where these Pharisees came from, God has given the law. And what was the goal of the law? The goal of the law was to remind us about God's character. We read that do not commit murder. Why? Because Jesus is not a murderer. It says do not commit adultery. Why? Because Jesus is not an adulterer. Honor your parents. Why? Because Jesus honored his father. See, this is all a reminder pointing to something great, and that is to Jesus Christ himself. In John 5:39, we read, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. The whole point of the Bible is to remind us every day who Jesus Christ is. See, I wish we only needed to be reminded once a week, like this morning. Once on Sunday morning, we come, we are reminded about the truth, and we go back and we live perfect life, perfect Christian life. I wish that was the case. But because of the sin in this world, because of the influence of sin in this world, we as believers in Christ needed to be reminded every day. Now, if you need to be reminded every day, why are we not gathering not every Sunday morning, but every morning here, praise and worship, a preacher talks about Jesus, we are reminded every morning for an hour and a half. Right? So we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. I wish that was the case. But we do have family life, jobs, school, education, right? But God has given us everything. What has he given us? He's given us the scripture. That you and I can anytime read it to be reminded about who Jesus is. This morning we are talking about Jesus as our provider and our sustainer. Because we have physical needs in life. We have spiritual needs in life, and he can fulfill that. Not only fulfill that, he can satisfy that. And that's what he did. Feeding 4,000, they were satisfied. And in fact, he gave more than what they needed. 7 extra baskets. Abundance. Jesus doesn't hold back. When he gives it to you, he gives it in abundance. And we can believe in that truth. So we need to go to him. Because the world is going to distract you every day. There's everything that is pointing you away from Jesus. Right? But we need to be reminded about the truth. And my goal today is to just simply remind you about the truth so that we can walk. Read your scripture. Spend time with him. Meditate day and night. In verse 15 of the chapter 8, Jesus again reminding us to be aware of the influence of this world. Verse 14, very interesting, verse 14. They had forgotten to take the bread. Even though there were 7 baskets, they did forget about the bread and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving them orders saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So what is Jesus telling us to be beware of? Well, there's no Pharisees or Herod here right now. So what is he trying to tell us? Leaven. Does anybody know what a leaven is? Yeast. Yeah, as an example, an agent, right? What is the purpose of a yeast? The purpose of a yeast is to make bread and other baked goods rise by converting sugar into carbon dioxide, and which creates bubbles and expands the dough. And in other words, basically, it influences the bread to rise. My wife, she loves baking, and one of the things that she makes is cinnamon buns. I don't know if you make cinnamon buns at home, but if you do, she makes the dough, and then she waits about 30 minutes for it to rise, right? And I'm like, come on, get gone. We got to eat the cinnamon buns, right? Patience is everything. So she waits, and the whole dough doubles in size. And I'm like, whoa. And then she takes it out and then kneads it again and makes into this nice circles and then puts it on the pan. And then she waits again another 30 minutes to rise again, right? So that's an example where the yeast or the leaven, the agent, actually influences the whole bread and it rises, right? It changes the shape, changes the size, all of that. And what Jesus is saying, watch out, because Pharisees and Herod, those were the people who were influencers at that time. They influenced people on how to eat, how to behave, what to do with your day-to-day life. They were the influencers. Now, today we don't necessarily have those influences, but we have something different. What are our influencers today? How are we influenced today? Well, we have something called YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, some social media. There's people who talk on podcasts. They all influence us, right? On what you should dress up, what you should eat, what you should shop. In fact, the best one, when I became a father about a year and a half ago, how to raise your children. So many resources on the internet that tells you how to raise your child right. And I can argue one way, I can argue the other way. There's so many options. And they all influence you, right? But the same principle applies here today. We are influenced by the sin in this world. Whatever it is in this world that's out there. Because we are influenced, Jesus is saying, watch out. Be aware of these people. Be aware of these influences in your life so that you can stand firm on a solid ground. And to stand firm on a solid ground, you need to know what that rock ground is. You need to know the truth so that you can detect a lie. You cannot learn all the lies and figure out what the truth is. The easiest and the best way to know what a lie is to know the truth. And as you know the truth, you can walk in that truth today. See, if you know the story of the wise men and the foolish men, right? The wise men, what did he do? He built a house on the rock. And what happened? Rain and storm came. Flood came, right? And his house stood firm. The foolish men built his house on the sand, and the rain and storm came, and his house fell apart. And there was a third option where they built a house, and it was sunny and calm, and everybody enjoyed and lived happily after. No, it never happened. There's no third option. The storm is coming, or it's already here. The flood is going to happen. The question is, are you going to stand firm in the rock solid ground of Jesus Christ or not? Are you really relying on the influences of this world, or are you going to rely on Jesus Christ himself, who provides for us, satisfies us, and looks after us? And verse 16 onwards, we read, after Jesus says, beware of these things, they began to discuss with one another that they had no bread. So we're like, what are you talking about? Like, Jesus is warning you. Jesus is telling you about who he is and to be beware of the people out there. And yet, all the disciples could think about, man, we forgot the bread, 7 baskets that we left on the shore, right? We look at the disciples and we laugh, but we are those disciples today who sometimes don't see the truth. Sometimes don't understand the truth. And Jesus again reminds us, verse 17, aware of this, said, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Or do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for 5,000? How many baskets? 12. What about feeding 4,000? 7. Do you yet not understand? My friends, do you understand today, this morning, who Jesus is? Do you understand that Jesus is everything you need in life? Do you understand that Jesus provided for you everything you need? Do you understand that you need to believe in him today? For the rest of your life, every day you get up and you put on Christ. Lord Jesus, I can't do this Christian life, but you can, and you said you will, and you're doing it. And you walk in surrender, you walk in obedience, you walk in that truth every day. That is the Jesus that we serve, that Jesus is enough. We have anxieties, we have worries, uncertainties. If you look at the world out there right now, there's wars, all sorts of uncertainty. Oh, what's going to happen? It's going to change tomorrow. One thing, someone says one thing, next day he changes his mind. There's different things that happen, and we are uncertain about life. But what is the certainty that we have in life? Jesus Christ. He's never uncertain. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. His character doesn't change. If that is the case of who Jesus is, we can believe in him. There's so many distractions in this world, but don't let those distractions turn away from Jesus. Today, choose Jesus as your life. And the last part of the passage is Jesus healing a blind man. And it's very interesting because he just said, having eyes, you do not see. You're blind, even though you have eyes and you can see. And then he goes and heals a blind man. And how he heals the blind man, he does it in stages. The first time, he spits on his eyes, laying his hands, and he asks, do you see anything? And the blind man said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. And then again, Jesus laid his hands on his eyes, and looked intently and was restored. And then the man could see clearly. See, oftentimes when Jesus reveals himself, he reveals to us in stages. When Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus could have come back right then, and he could have only had to die for two people. But he waited. He revealed his law. He revealed his purpose. He came as a man, and he's going to come back again. That is a certain hope we have today. And he reveals himself in stages. If you never personally experienced Jesus Christ in your life, I have an answer for you today. You know, you could ask Jesus himself. Ask him, Lord Jesus, please reveal yourself to me so that I would know without a shadow of doubt that you exist and you live in my life. If you have already experienced him in your life, but yet you have not aligned yourself with Jesus' character, ask him to please help you to align yourself with Jesus' character so that you could walk confidently, not because of your works, but because of what Jesus is doing. Because you said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in Jesus alone, who gave himself up for me. That is the life that Jesus is offering you today. And when you have Jesus, you have everything. So are you willing to put your trust in the source of life, the truth of life, Jesus Christ himself? If you've never done it, today's your day. Don't have to wait another minute. If you've already done it, you gave yourself to Jesus, I'm challenging you to examine your hearts today. Do you need to realign yourself with Jesus today? Do you need to realign yourself with his characters today, so that he could work in and through you, and then you become the light of this world, as Jesus has told us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for each one of us, Lord, paying the price for our penalty, paying the price for our sin on the cross because of his great love for us, Lord. Lord, he didn't stay dead. Lord, he rose again on the third day so that we could have life today. We could have that resurrection life today. Lord, I pray for this church this morning. If there's anyone, Lord, whom you haven't called, Lord, I pray and encourage that you would knock their door and that they would have a willing heart to let you in to their life. Lord, if there's anyone who have drifted or walked away or are being influenced by this world, Lord, I pray that they would turn around and go to the truth, go to the source, go to the life, and that is to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in that capacity. Lord, I pray that as this church leaves this through those doors, that, Lord, we would continue to proclaim your life. We would continue to proclaim your goodness to others, Lord. Lord, I pray for people who are doing mission trips. Pray for the pastor, Scott, who is in Kenya right now. Lord, you are proclaiming through him. Lord, I pray that people would see him. When they see him, they'd see you. They see the joy. They see the love. We thank you. Lord, we want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor. We want to give you the praise. It's nothing of our own, but everything of you and your life. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.